What's up? I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get in the Word tonight. You know, tonight is our Raise the Dead remix. And I just feel like God's put something inside of my heart to share with you guys. And I think it's pretty solid. And I don't know about you, but I'm fired up about it. So if I end up talking a lot, then, you know, just forgive me, because I just got to get something on the inside of me out to the outside of me. So let's go ahead and do this. If you guys got your Bibles, I want you to turn that bad boy open to Ephesians, the second chapter. We've been living there for the past couple of weeks. And as you turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, I want to go ahead and pray real quick. And we're going to jump right into this bad boy. So let's go ahead and pray as you turn to Ephesians, the second chapter. If you didn't bring a Bible, then when the person next to you bows their head to pray, just steal theirs, and it'll be okay. So let's go ahead and pray. Father God, we thank you for each and every person in this room. We thank you, Father God, more than them just being here. But God, we thank you that every person breathing in this place, Father, has a plan and a purpose for this life and for eternity. So God, tonight as we go to your Word, I pray that you would open up our hearts, that you would crack our hearts open, and you would do surgery on the inside of us, God, that you would take dead hearts and make them alive, that you would make hard hearts and make them soft, God, that you would make hearts that have been turned off for the things of God, God, that you would light them aflame again, and Father, that you would do in us what nobody else can do, change us from the inside to the outside. We don't ask you just to make us good people or nice people, because you know what? We want more than that. We ask that you would make us changed people, that you would make us passionate people, that you would make us people who would settle for nothing less than the fullness of life that you've promised us. So Father, we lay ourselves down before you and ask you to do what only you can do, Jesus. And Father God, as we pray these things, God, we also pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire, God. Father, whether they met yesterday, they're meeting right now, or they're going to meet tomorrow, Father God, we ask that you'd bless them, that you'd bless Emmanuel Baptist and Trinity. God, that you would bless San Bernardino Community, Father God, that you would bless Abundant Living in their youth. God, that you'd bless Inland Temple, Father God, and Lord, that you'd bless them in spite of, you know, it doesn't matter what denomination they are, Father God. We recognize that if they're talking about Jesus, and that we're all on the same team doing the same thing, getting young people to know about the saving name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, we ask you to bless them as we do this together. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody in the house said, amen and amen. Cool, let's jump into this thing tonight. Okay, here's what we were talking about, is raising the dead. And, you know, tonight I want to talk to you, I want to continue to talk to you about raising the dead, because I believe that God has something in store for you. But you know, the funny thing is that you have to be alive in order to do something. I don't know if you realize this, but roadkill doesn't do much. I don't know if you've noticed this, but after you step on an ant or you spray a spider, they kind of don't really do a whole lot. You know, God needs you to be alive for you to do something in your life and in the lives of other people. You know, tonight, I want to go ahead and read once again what it says in Ephesians, the second chapter. We're going to go through about 6 verses here. I want you to read them. And you know, I was really excited last week. Donnie and Pastor Michelle, myself, we brought some words and stuff like that. I think it was just really cool to see what God had in store for us. But in Ephesians, the second chapter, it says this, and it says this. It says, and you, he, that's God, capital H, made alive, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, in which once we used to walk according to the course of the world. That's what killed us. According to the prince of the power of air, Satan, that's what killed us. The spirit that works in the sons of disobedience, that's what killed us. Among whom once we all conducted ourselves according to the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of our mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just like the others. That is what killed us. But God... all of a sudden, everything begins to take a U-turn here. Those two little words, but God. It says things were looking kind of ugly, kind of bleak. Things were looking kind of dead. Things were looking like it was kind of lame out there. It says, you know, life just wasn't really what it was supposed to be. People getting hurt, dying, people being broken, people going to bed not knowing what tomorrow is going to hold. People going to bed, or maybe people not being able to go to bed because they're so worried and stressed out about what tomorrow is going to bring. It says people used to be dead. But then it goes in and says, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. God, who is rich in mercy. I want to know that guy. It says God. It says this. He, because of his great love, with he loved us. I want to know that guy. It says this. It says, but God, even when we were dead in our trespasses, we were useless. He did what? He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. It's kind of funny because, see, God didn't want us just made alive, but God wanted to be around us. See, he made us alive with Christ. See, God desires to be near you. God desires to be next to you. You know, God loves us so much. He desires to be living inside of us. So I think you're okay. I think you're an okay of a person. I don't care what anybody else told you. But you must be pretty fantastic if God wants to hang out on the inside of your life. You must be pretty special if the God of the universe thinks you're worth being around. It says, but God raised us up together, verse 6, and he what made us to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. See, a picture is painted of a whole lot of dead people, of a world full of people who need something. It says, there's this picture painted that says of these sons of disobedience and death and wrath and all these really horrible words and death and all this jacked up garbage. The Bible is just painting this picture of this world that just really looks kind of bleak, full of monsters, full of destruction, full of sadness, full of broken people. It paints this picture. It says, and then it says there's some people that are different than that. It says they used to be dead. They used to be broken. They used to be hurt. They used to be hurting other people. They used to be sad. They used to be depressed. They used to be cutting themselves. They used to be stuck in reverse when God was calling them forward. It says they used to be a kind of people, but all of a sudden it says, but God changed them. It changed them. It says God went into a graveyard and he left it empty. It says Jesus kicked over the gravestones, reached into the ground, and put life inside of those coffins and raised them up to be living, breathing children of God. The Bible says that the way people used to be isn't the way they are anymore. And I don't know how your life is, but I know how my life was. And I know who I was before I met God. And I know the scared young man I used to be. I know the pain that I went through when my family was falling apart. I know the questions I had inside my brain. I know the uneasiness I had inside my heart. And I know that I was exactly what Ephesians said. It says me, Pastor Richard, before I was ever Pastor Richard. I was just a little punk Mexican kid, Richard. I am Mexican, in case you don't know that. I actually am. You may not know chorizo. So anyway, it says, you know, I used to be pretty bad. I used to be a really good cusser. I was good at cussing, man. Oh man. Anyway, I have all the problems I have. That's what I remember. but it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, rich in love, reached down into a dead heart, changed it. You know, I've talked about it before. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. And I just couldn't get away from it this week. In Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, if you want to turn there, you can. It's pretty nuts. There's hundreds of years before this was ever written. You know, in Ephesians, a prophet named Ezekiel had a vision. He went to bed and he saw this vision of a picture that looked like that. It's a vision of the dry bones. And it says that he opened his eyes. He looked out inside this huge valley, maybe not too different than the Inland Empire. He looked in this huge valley. He saw nothing but dead things. He saw nothing but death. He saw nothing but brokenness. He saw nothing but a wasteland full of destruction. And then he began to talk to God. And like it says in verse 6, it says, but God. Ezekiel saw this but God thing. I saw this video online, and it painted this picture of what it must have looked like. Not completely accurate, but it's pretty darn close to what it says in Ezekiel 37 and the vision he saw. I want you to go ahead and take a look at it real quick, and then we're going to pick it up again. I'm going to be right back in just a minute. But you know, if you guys got that video ready, go ahead, roll that bad boy. I want you to pay attention to what it says.
The hand of the Lord was upon me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the voice of the Lord. I will make breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army.
I don't know. Brother looked good for just being made alive. Dang, huh? Put a shirt on. Look at that. Look at that. And it's... And I see San Bernardino. I look at that and I see the Inland Empire. I look at that sometimes and I see this youth ministry. And, you know, if you look at it with your eyes, there's no hope. It's a graveyard. It's full of dead bones. It's Ephesians chapter 2. It says the sons of disobedience, and there's nothing but wrath and anger, nothing but death. It says all these dead things, these dead people. It stinks. It smells. It smells like rotting. It smells disgusting. It's putrid. You know, I just we were talking to our staff prayer today, San Bernardino. Do you know that San Bernardino is the second poorest city in the entire United States? Did you know? I don't know if you knew that. The only city that beats us is Detroit. And if you know anything about the history of Detroit, then you know it's pretty tough. You know, there's the statistics say this, that 46% of every person that lives in San Bernardino is on welfare, some type of social assistance. And I see that. And when I read a story like Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, I see San Bernardino. I see people who have been beat up. I see people who have been dumped on. I don't see victims, but I see death sometimes. But I love it because verse 4, I love it because Ezekiel starts, but it doesn't end there. You see, it starts with a bunch of bones. It starts with a lot of death. But then Ezekiel begins to speak and he says, God, what are we going to do about this? He says, God, this isn't right. God, why isn't anybody doing anything? And then God says to Ezekiel, he says, Ezekiel, oh no, this is the way things are, but it's not the way things are going to be. God says, Ezekiel, this is maybe what you see now, but this is not the way the story is going to end. He says, Ezekiel, this is just the beginning of this fairy tale because I have a happy ending for this valley. I have a happy ending for these bones. He says, this is not the end of the story. He says, you need to do something. He says, Ezekiel, you need to speak and you need to speak and tell them that God is coming to town. You need to speak and you need to tell them that God has a plan for these dead bones. Where everybody else says, let's bury them, let's get rid of them. He says, I am not done with this. I have just begun to say something. And he says, you speak to these bones. You look at this death and you tell this death it has to leave. You tell this death that God has numbered its days. And Ezekiel, you tell these bones that they need to get up. They need to get to stepping. They need to better. They need to start having some change inside of them. He said, because the Spirit of God is coming and because God desires change inside of their life. Because 46% is not good enough. Because second poorest city is not good enough. It may start off with death, but it will not end that way. My God is too big for those numbers. My God is too big for suicide and for cutting. My God is too big for lazy people. My God is too big for people who are bulimic and anorexic. Why? Not because he's too good for them, but because his life is bigger than those problems. Why? Because God has the answers to speak to those things that are dead and to make them alive. And what did he say in Ezekiel? He said, speak to these bones and you tell them that God desires to take their brokenness and put them back together. He says God desires to take those broken bones and those empty bones and begin to make them warm and to begin to put muscle and sinew and tendons and skin on them. And more than that, God desires to make you, desires than more than to make you look like you're alive. Because he said at the end of that, Ezekiel said this, he said, God, look, the bones are together. He said, the muscles are there. He said, the skin is on top of them. But what, but they're still not alive. And God said, look, they'll never become alive until they get the spirit of me inside of them, until they get the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. See, some of us in this place, you look good, you act good, you walk good, you got your, you think you got your act together, but in the inside, you have no breath inside of you. Your mask that you put on every day in the morning when you wake up with your, you put on your makeup, you put on your t-shirt, you put on your shoes, your cologne, brother, make your hair look good, standing 2 feet off your head, like you're going to a party or something like that, because you look good. But on the inside, it says you've got no breath inside of you. It's time to take that mask off. Ezekiel said, God, I see them and they look good, but they're not moving. And God said, speak to those winds. Speak to my spirit. And call me to live inside of them. You know, funny thing is the word prophesy simply means to encourage somebody. The funny thing, the word prophesy is not some super spiritual word. All prophesy means to speak God's word. In this room are hundreds of prophets. And when you leave this place, you're going to go into a dead place. I don't know if that's your home. I don't know if that's your school. I don't know if that's your neighborhood, your apartment complex, your street. But in this place, you're going to leave these doors and you're going to go into a wasteland full of dead bones. And you can choose to ignore it. And you can choose to overlook it. You can step over the bodies and try to ignore the smell of death. Or you can go and leave these doors. You can be like Ezekiel and speak the life of God into the broken, into the hurt, into the bruised, to those who've quit and given up. You can speak life to the ones that nobody wants to talk to. Because you see, Ezekiel was alive. And it takes a living person. It takes a living person to speak life into another person. In the book of Acts, the disciples came up to a poor man, and the poor man said, give me some money. And they said, I don't got no money, but what I do have, I can give you. In this place, if you are alive, you have a responsibility to give your life to somebody else. But if you're dead already, you've got nothing to offer anybody. Because you are a part of those bones. Romans, the sixth chapter. You know, if you have it, go ahead, put it up. I think Romans, give me Romans up here. Romans 6, 12, 2. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Give me the next one there. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized, baptized simply means dunked, head to toe in something. It means that you were submerged and immersed. Don't you know you're baptized into Christ Jesus? That means you've given your everything to him. That's what baptized means. It means nothing sticking out of the water. You're all the way under. It says you were dunked all the way. You were baptized. You were placed every part of you into Christ Jesus. It says, you know, you were, if you were baptized into Jesus, if you've given your heart to Jesus, that means you were also given to his death on that cross. Next one. Well, Pastor Richard, you just said we're alive. Well, the only way you become alive is when you die. It'll make no sense. I know. The Bible don't make no sense sometimes. But, you know, when the Bible doesn't make any sense, sometimes it seems like that's when it makes the most sense. It says, if you gave your heart to the Lord, you died to yourself. You gave up. Look, if you jump in the pool, you give up dryness to be wet. That's the only way you jump in the pool. You cannot jump in the pool and still be dry. That's not the way it works. Okay? You cannot dive head first and still be dry. You give it up. It says, when you
dove into Jesus Christ, you died to sin. It says, therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. You see, when you gave your heart to Jesus, you gave up sin and you gave up your rights and you took up his rights and you took up his goodness. You see, it's an exchange. God, you take what I have, which is death, dry bones, and nothing that I really need. And it says, God, I give you what I have, and you give me what you have. And it says this, it says, we were buried with him. For if we've been united, it says we were,
whoa, that's okay. We got this. That's a good one right there. Let's just go with that.
For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, it says if you died like Jesus died, if you gave up your life just like Jesus gave up his life, it says this, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This whole month we're talking about being raised, we're talking about raising the dead. Then it means that if you are dead, if you give of yourself, then God will rise you up and you have everything that Jesus has. And let me tell you this, what's in God's pocket is a lot better than what's in my pocket. What's in God's hand is a lot better than what's in your girlfriend's hand. Look. What's in God's wallet is much better than what's in your dad's wallet. Look, what's in God's heaven is much better than what's in your world. So when you give up what you have and you die to yourself, say, God, I'm not going to do this my way anymore. And you choose to do this God's way. All of a sudden, you have the likeness of his resurrection. Everything that God has becomes yours. And that's what God desires from us. You raise the dead. We talked about these things. Let me get the band up here. Talk about these things. I believe more than popcorn and all this other jazz that we have for you guys. You know, not a whole lot, just a little bit. I think the greatest thing we can do today is to present life to you. Because I hear these numbers and I see these young people and I hear the stories. And I even look in my life and I think, God, what's dead inside of me? What do you need to make alive again? I just know I need more. I just know I need more. I know I need life because I live in a world that is dead all around me. And that's what tonight's about.